Well, thank you again, Emma and Nigel. We appreciate what you're doing with worship. Church, good morning. I trust that you are all still well. Those of you that have been praying for my mother-in-law, she has had her hip operation at the age of 85 and she's doing well. And hopefully she'll be home in the next days. So thank you for that. Really appreciate it. We've been looking through Ephesians 6 and looking into the armour of God. And excuse me. I swallowed and it went down the wrong way. Looking at the armour of God. And last week we looked at the finalies and we looked at standing and standing firm. And we know that in this turbulent time that we're in, and that's the day when the day of evil comes, the Bible talks about it. Today is the day of evil because we're in the world, but remember, we're not of the world. So some of these things, as I said last week, are foundational. But on my journey through scripture and my journey throughout the area in which I live in, I realise when I speak to Christians, there are still many Christians who do not fully understand the foundational doctrines of scripture. They're still blown around, as Paul would say, by every wind of doctrine, because some people want to do the right things and they're led by their emotions rather than by the truth. So as we start this week's message, let me just read from Ephesians 6 verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Our strength comes in Christ, doesn't it? Yes, it does. And in his mighty power, put on the full armour of God, Paul says, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, remember, as I mentioned last week, Paul was under house arrest. He was surrounded by Roman soldiers. He would have understood the Roman centurion. He would have understood what it was to be ready for battle. And so we can take from that some of the things that Paul is saying here, some of the imagery he's using. He would have gleaned that by watching and looking at the way in which a Roman soldier would dress ready for battle. And also, if you look through the Old Testament, you will see, I think it's in Isaiah, where Jesus is portrayed as a mighty warrior. So Paul not only uses what's in front of him, he uses the knowledge that he has of the Old Testament, I believe, anyway. Finally, be strong so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God. And this indicates that there's a fullness to the protection that God gives us. There's a fullness to it. Now, we are individuals and we're also corporate, aren't we? We're individuals and we have to have an individual salvation. I cannot petition God that you are saved. I cannot give you, should I say, salvation. You have to repent and receive the grace of God, the gift of God for yourself. But when we acknowledge our sin, when we acknowledge that we're imperfect but made perfect because we're hidden in Christ, we become, the Bible tells us, part of a bigger body. So yes, we should be individual, but we should also be corporate. We live in a day where it's about me, my and I. It's about how I feel. It's about my feelings. And when we speak about the truth is what we're going to look at today, it's not about how I feel about the truth, it's what the truth is. So we need to put on the full armour of God. There is a fullness to what God has for us. And we can explore that over the next few weeks. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And that's what I want for me. That's what I want for you. That you can stand your ground. Doesn't matter if you're isolated. Doesn't matter if you're insulated. It doesn't matter if you're part of a big family of believers or a small family of believers, then we want you to be able to stand your ground, knowing that you're standing on the truth. In verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. So this is the first garment, if you like, first part of the armour that Paul speaks about, the belt of truth. Now, Pilate asked Jesus a question, what is the truth? Jesus didn't answer him, but the Bible does answer what truth is. Now, within a biblical sense, when we're talking about truth, we're talking about the truth of God's word. What does God say about me and you? What does Jesus declare we are in him? The truth of God's word. That's what Paul is saying here. But when we expand on that word truth, there are many things and many times and many opportunities that we can hear something, listen to something, and it sounds like the truth, doesn't it? But we need to discern, is it true or is it false? Because if we base truth on feelings and not fact, we will fall. I know there's some F's there, but if we act on our feelings and not on the facts, then we will fall. So we need to know what the truth is. So the truth in God's word and the truth around us. I was saddened yesterday. I found out something that really saddened me. There's a particular apologist that I've been following for a few years, and he's very intellectual. He's dead now. He died some time ago, but his reputation has been in shatters. Excuse me, because it came to light after his death that he in fact had lived a moral lifestyle, not just, you know, a minor indiscretion, not just like all of us, we all fail and we all fall. And the grace of God picks us up, doesn't it? Yes, it does. So if you failed or you've fallen, then God wants to pick you up. But he doesn't want you to make that failure into a lifestyle. And this particular man did. And I was very saddened by that because it dilutes what we try to say at times. But it doesn't distinguish from God's truth. See, we can be imperfect but still speak of a perfect saviour. But I was saddened by that. And it just goes to show that we should know the truth. And the truth will set us free. So we should not just speak about the truth. We should live it as well as Christians. In Matthew 22. And I just want to say at this point, I know at times I speak quite fast. And because of my dyslexia at times, I can see what's in front of me. But I say something completely different. So please, if I give you the wrong scripture or the wrong verse, please bear with me. Hopefully you'll know where I'm going and you'll be able to find the right passage. Matthew 22 verse 15. Now the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap Jesus in his own words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity. Now, the word know there is we have seen it and experienced it. We don't know about it. We know it to be a fact. So we could say here, the truth is that you are a teacher of integrity and that you teach the way of God. In other words, you teach in accordance with the truth, it goes on to say. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. And I put this portion of scripture in when we're looking at the truth and we're putting the belt of truth on. Now, to put that belt on, the Roman centurion, if we look at the Roman soldier as an example here, he would have a garment almost like a dress, if you like, that would go on first. And then his armour would go over the top of it. And when you look at the belt would be put on so that his sword could be attached to it and anything else he needed, maybe a dagger, attached to that belt. But not only was it functional that way to hold things, it also held his garments together. And when you look through scripture and you look at the someone who has a belt on or a sash on, as they start to run or they start to go forward with any speed, they would tuck their garments into their belt so they didn't trip up. So if we take that analogy, it's like you've got lots of loose ends and truth will, you tuck those loose ends into the truth and the truth will keep you safe and stop you from tripping up. So if you have that picture in your mind, that the belt of truth, is it, we could say it's like I'll use this one. If you're on an aeroplane and the captain says, put your seatbelt on, and you put your seatbelt on and it's a little bit loose, but you've still got it on, and then we have some turbulence, you may have a stewardess come along and say, you might need to just pull that a little bit tighter. And that's what we're being encouraged to do right here in this passage, to put that belt of truth on and make sure it's fastened, it's tight, so it will hold everything together. It says here that he's not swayed by others because of who they are. And in our pursuit of truth, as we look through scripture, I'm sure there's times where you've listened to podcasts, you've listened to video, you've been in churches and you've heard someone from the pulpit, as we like to call it, someone who is articulating what the Bible is saying and then bringing an interpretation as well, that you've just taken at face value what they've said to be the truth because you trust them. Well, Jesus wasn't swayed by anyone's position, whether it was high or low, whether it's a mega church of thousands or even hundreds of thousands with personalities who have the gift of being able to speak in such a way that it identifies with thousands of people, or it's in a setting where there's one or two people. Jesus wasn't swayed by personality. He wanted the truth. And part of the lifestyle that he led, people saw around him that he was a man of integrity. So when we pursue truth, if we're going to listen to someone speak, then they need to have a lifestyle of integrity as well. Not just preach the gospel, but live the gospel. So the reason I'm bringing this portion of scripture is to say that we shouldn't be swayed by personalities. We should still seek out what the Bible says about truth. Because we know, we hear this time and time again, don't we? Know the truth and the truth will set you free. Set you free from what? From sin. Because the good news of the gospel is all about our sin being covered so that we are hidden in Christ. That's the truth, isn't it? But we need to know that truth in order to receive that truth. Because half a truth isn't the whole truth, is it? No, it's not. That's why it's important to put on this belt of truth and make sure it's fastened and it's fastened securely so that when the day of evil comes, we can stand. That's what Paul is urging to his readers. He knows that we're in a battle. In John 1 verse 9, it says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So when we look at this, the true light, it indicates that there is also a false light. So we have the true light and we also have a false light. Remember what the Bible says about the devil. He is a liar. He masks around as an angel of light. So when we read these scriptures, it's so easy to miss out one of these words, because when we do miss out one of these words, it doesn't give us the full context. So if we didn't say the word true, we just said light, then it doesn't give us the fullness of what Paul is saying. What's saying in 1 John 1. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. That's Jesus Christ. He was in the world, though the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. In verse 11, he came to that which was his own, the Jewish people, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And we need to understand that afresh, that Jesus came full of grace, which is undeserved favor, but full of truth. And the truth of this scripture is quite powerful, that we recognize that those who believe in his name, the name that is above every other name, Jesus means he's the savior. Those that believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And there are times within our walk, and maybe this hasn't happened to you, but It may have happened to someone that you know, and you can counsel them on this truth, that they accepted Christ as Savior and Lord, and then through an indiscretion, the enemy comes along and he tries to rob and steal. And that individual feels that they've dishonored God, and therefore they don't deserve to belong to God's family. Well, this word here, this truth of this scripture here says, all those that have believed, my phone is going, I'm going to ignore that. All those that have believed have the right to become children of God. God's given you access through Jesus Christ. So knowing the truth, being set free from the truth, is important to us. So it's foundational. That's why I bring it up again. It's foundational, because without the truth, we don't have access. So therefore, we're building on a false and a shaky foundation. And we don't want to do that, do we? No, we don't. John 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus said. You believe in God. Believe also in me. And here's another falsehood. There are many people that will worship God, but not Jesus. They'll worship God, but they won't acknowledge his son. My Father's house has many rooms, in verse 2. If that were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. You also may be where I am. Verse 4 says this, you know the way to the place where I am going. Let me pause before I go on to the next bit. The truth of God's word is, if we've accepted him as Savior and Lord, we're going to be where he is. Where is he? I'm glad you asked. He's in the heavenly realms. He sits at the right hand of the Father. Where he is, we will be. He's preparing an eternal inhabitants for me and you. And his word says, the truth of his word says, he's coming back for us. So do not be discouraged that it may be taking a long time. He will come back for you, and he will come back for me. Foundational, as I said, but important to know these truths. So when the wind of every doctrine comes around, it won't blow us over, that we may be able to stand. Why? Because we have the truth, that belt firmly fitted around our waist, that we know the truth and we're set free from the truth. We know that there's a war going on between good and evil. In verse 5, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and Thomas asked him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? This is important for us as Christians, to listen to what Jesus says. I am the way. Now, that's the truth. I am the way. And there are people who will say there are many ways to God. But that's not the truth, is it? The Bible doesn't say there's many ways to God. You could earn your salvation. That's not true. There are some religions that say if your good outweighs your bad, then you'll go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. That's not true. And the truth we're talking about is biblical truth. So we need to have already accepted by faith, by grace alone, in Christ alone, for this truth to be relevant for us. But that's not the truth. So if someone says to you, or you'll hear someone say, there's many paths to God, there isn't. Jesus said it himself. Listen, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you are of the opinion that you can get to God any other way than through Jesus, that's a lie. So now you know the truth. And because you know the truth will set you free, and you'll be on a firm foundation to stand with that belt firmly wrapped around your waist. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 and 11, it says this, by the grace of God given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, Paul says, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, with our eyes open, in other words, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using silver or gold, costly stones, wood, hay or straw. Their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. So when we build, we need to build on a solid foundation. I liken it to this. If we start to build our Christian walk on Christ, it will be solid. If we start to build our Christian walk on how we feel, or how other people may feel about us, or that we know a little bit about God through reading the Bible, we've been to church a long time. If we build on those facts, it's like building on the tabletop. And the higher and the bigger and the heavier that structure gets, let's say that the knowledge that we have, that we glean, is the structure, it will collapse. Why? Because it's built on the tabletop, not on the foundation. If we build on the foundation, then the goodness of God will shine through when we're tested. And the rubbish that we've listened to, the rubbish that we've spoken, the sin that we've been part of will just be consumed. But the goodness of God's word and God's truth will remain. That's why it's important to know the truth of the foundation. Because if we don't build upon that foundation, then we know what will happen. It will collapse. So know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Not might set us free, it will. In 1 Kings 13, I find this particular portion of scripture interesting, and I think it's worth you reading it. So if you go into 1 Kings 13 and you read through this account here, you will glean something very interesting, but I will just pick out one or two highlights. By the word of the Lord, but remember the Bible says, in the beginning was the word, that's God. The word became flesh, that's Christ. The flesh became spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. Three in one. So we're talking about the word of God here. By the word of the Lord, a man of God, which is a man that God chose to speak to, came from Judah to Bethel as Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make an offering. Now, Jeroboam was in idol worship. He was offering offerings that he should not be offering. Read the scriptures. He was into demonic worship. And the man of God came to deliver a message to him. Now, I won't read all the message out, but it talks about the man of God several times. So I'm going to go down to verse 8 of 1 Kings 13. Now, the man of God had come to deliver a message. The message was delivered. It was backed up with signs. Verse 8, but the man of God answered the king. The king had said that he would give him a reward. And the man of God said, I won't take anything from you. Even if you give me half of your possessions, I would not go with you. Nor would I eat bread or drink water here. For I was commanded by the word of the Lord. Just remember that. He was commanded by the word of the Lord. You must not eat bread or drink water or return by the way you came. Now we're talking about the truth here, aren't we? So God had spoken directly to this man. And then it goes on, talking about the man of God. And it goes on in verse 15. Now when you read this verse, it's easy to be deceived. Let's just look at it together. Verse 15 of 1 Kings 13. So the prophet said to him, this was a older prophet. It's an old prophet in the area that had heard about what had happened, and he pursued and found the man of God. So the prophet said to him, come home with me and eat. The man of God said, I cannot turn back or go with you, nor can I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. I have been told by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water there or return by the way you came. In verse 18, the old prophet answered, I too am a prophet, as you are. And an angel said to me, by the word of the Lord, bring him back with you to your house so that he may eat bread and drink water. But of course, he was lying. Just read that portion of scripture and see what's happened there. God has directly spoken to this man. This man had gone and delivered the truth according to God's word. He was told not to do something. Then another older, maybe more mature man within the area came and deceived him. And he deceived him by saying, I too am a prophet like you. I too, I'm a teacher just like you. I'm a Christian just like you. And did God really say? And we go right back to Genesis on that one, don't we? Did God really say? One of the biggest tactics of the enemy is to cause you to be off guard by what you feel rather than the fact. That you feel you need to respect this person because of their age. You feel you need to respect them because they studied in theology. They went to the right schools and they've got the right credentials. Did God really say? And this young prophet heard God, but he disobeyed God because he listened to what someone listened to, the lie rather than to the Lord. And when we talk about the truth, we need to be those that will always say, what does God say about that? Now, when we look through Old Testament and New Testament, there are ways of interpreting who God's speaking to and if it's relevant to us today. There are ways of looking at the many witnesses in God's word to determine what the truth is. But we need to dig into that word to determine what the truth is, because you cannot, if you want to stand and stand firm with the belt of truth around your waist, you cannot just take what someone says as the truth. You need to find it out for yourself. You need to know the truth in order to be set free from the truth. If not, then you will be enslaved by sin because you won't truly know the truth. So let's not be deceived by other people who say, I too am. Because remember what I said earlier, the devil masks around as an angel of light. Look at what this prophet said. I too am a prophet just like you. In other words, I'm just like you. I have as much authority as you have. God loves me the same way as he loves you. He speaks to me the same way as he speaks to you. And not only that, an angel visited me and told me, this is what you are to do. We need to know the truth in order to be set free from the truth. Let's not be deceived by the way we feel about people. Let's be like Jesus, who was not swayed by personality. He knew the truth. He spoke the truth. He lived by the truth. And he told us through his word that we can be set free by the truth. That's why it's important to know the truth in order to be set free from it. I hope that makes sense. That's in Kings. Read that whole version of that story there for yourself and just see the hypocrisy. Just see how easy it was for that man to fall. And of course, God then used the lie of the prophet to bring a true prophecy that this young man was going to die because he'd been disobedient. John 8:31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's not enough just to know about the truth. I've been to church long enough to know about the truth. My parents told me about the truth. I've read books on the truth. I've read the Bible about the truth. I've listened to podcasts. I've listened to teachers on YouTube telling me about the truth. It's not enough to know about the truth. Jesus didn't say, know about the truth. He said, if you hold to my teachings, if you live out the truth. Does that mean that we're never going to fail? No, it doesn't. Because the truth of God's word will tell us that when we fall, if we repent, he'll pick us up. He'll pick us up. In order to save our lives, we lose our lives. We hide ourselves in Christ Jesus. So if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Don't just be hearers of the word, the Bible says, be doers of the word. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free from sin and hell. That's what it means. Set you free. In Romans 8:1. It says this, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of death. The truth of God's word is, there is now no condemnation. Jesus didn't come to condemn you or me or the world. He came to save it. It's what his word says. So we need to know this truth, don't we? when we feel condemned, it may be a righteous condemnation in the way that is, rather than being condemnation, it's the wrong word, conviction. Condemnation is not the right word for Christians. It's conviction. When we are convicted within our own hearts, our own spirits, that we've done something contrary to God's word, then we stop, we put it right, and then we move on. When we're condemned, it's like a man waiting to be executed. That's not how the Christian is called to live. So we need to know these verses so that we can quote these verses. These verses can be part of our testimony. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we live in him. We've been set free by the Spirit of God. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. A sinner such as me. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We need to understand the truth, speak the truth, live the truth. Make sure that belt is firmly buckled. It's an encouragement for us today, isn't it? It's good to know God's word. It's good to be reminded of what his word tells us and says to us. In Galatians 5, verse 13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. It goes on to say, do not bite and devour. It talks about how to live a godly life. Now, Jesus was asked that very question. Well, who is my neighbor? And then he gave the parable, didn't he, of the Good Samaritan. Our neighbor is those that's in front of us. That the truth of God's word is this, that we are not to show partiality, that we're all sinners, aren't we? All of us. God so loved the world, those that have accepted and those that will accept, that we are to be salt and light. That's the truth of God's word. We are to be humble before him, but we're also to be those that know his truth in a confident way, that we can say this word from scripture, my confidence is in the Lord, the hope of my salvation. My confidence isn't in my ability. My confidence is in Christ. I am hidden with him. I no longer belong to myself. I've been purchased by his blood. That's the truth of God's word. That's what Paul is saying when he says, put on the belt of truth. Know what God says about you. Know what Jesus did for you so that you can live it and you can speak it and you can be fed from it so that when the day of evil comes, you can stand and you can stand firm. Therefore, it says in Matthew 7, verse 24, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock. Goes back to that foundation. The rain comes down and the streams rose and the winds blew, beat against that house, but it did not fall. Why? Glad you asked. Because its foundation was on the rock. And then it talks about the man who built his house on the sand, or the tabletop, as I put it. And when you think about that picture, when you look at the truth and you look at a lie and you put them side by side, you may not be able to see any difference. When you look at those two prophets, time is going away, so I'm going to cut this message short and maybe continue it next week. But when you look at those two buildings, side by side, you look at the truth and you look at the lie. They can either look identical or they can look different, but very similar. And sometimes the lie can be more attractive than the truth. That's something worth looking at. When we build on the rock, we know that it's solid. When we build on the sand, we know that it's not solid. But when we look with our natural, they look the same. The two buildings can look identical. It's only when the storms of life come that we know what is true. We had an old prophet and we had a young prophet. And when you look at those two together without the context of this scripture and without what God has shown us through this scripture, you could be deceived into thinking that they're both true. That the young prophet heard from God and the old prophet heard from God and it was confirmed by an angel. But it's only when it's tested, as Paul would say, the silver and gold will be tested by fire as well as the straw and the stubble and the hay. When it's tested, then you truly see what is truth and what is false. So in your life and my life, there will be a time of testing. Yes, the Christian will be tested, will not be condemned, but be tested. Everything we do, everything we've done, what we say, what we don't say, how we act, how we react, how we digest God's word and how we articulate his word will be tested. And the things that are not of God will be consumed, but the good things will remain. And we will enter into the joy of the Lord. That's the truth of God's word. So today, as I conclude this message, I want to say to us, put on that belt of truth and pull it tight. Tuck all the loose ends into it so when you go into battle, you won't trip. That you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So just to reiterate afresh today, the truth is the truth about God's word. The truth that we're talking about is the truth about Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done for me and you. So we need to know that truth afresh. And when we speak about the world, we need to discern who we're listening to, and we need to discern what truth is coming and what falsehood is coming. So be blessed. Let's finish in prayer. Father, we thank you for your belt of truth. Father God, I pull it tight around my waist today. Show me, articulate your truth to me afresh today, I pray, Lord, that I may be blessed. I may be a blessing, that Father God, that I may be able to go into the battle knowing that I'm full of your armor and I'm protected. In Jesus' name, amen.